Thank you, precious Father, for the privilege that we have to congregate again under your Spirit. Lord, we trust that your word will come true for us tonight. You said they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. Tonight we make an appearance and we trust that strength will be granted. Sufficiency will be granted. Not just to walk with you, Lord, but to advance the kingdom. Thank you, Abba Father. We give you praise tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you. God bless you. And I want to set the coordinates that will guide our navigation in the course of this conference. It's very important for us to understand truth and to understand the coordination of truth. Because if knowledge is scattered, it does not sustain the stature that is required to bring about the essence of that knowledge. So it's important for us to look at scriptures and to understand the perspective of next level from the context of the kingdom. There is no progress in life except as we come under the ambience of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the grand plan of God from eternity past into eternity future. There is no dispensation of God or his dealing with humankind that can ever find expression outside of the context of the kingdom. So every emphasis of God that is brought to us, regardless of the dispensation, must be determined within the context of the kingdom. And when you hear topics like next level, naturally what will come to you is promotion in your workplace. Naturally what will come to you is increase in material possession. But if you look at it from the boundary of the kingdom, you'll discover it's not necessarily so. There is a will that God wants to propagate in every generation. And until we are able to apprehend that will and give expression to it to the degree that we colonize our territory and bring our territory under the government of God, everything we call next level is a lie. The clubs that are in Uyo today, most of them are owned by Christians. God is not against prosperity, but the difference is who is with the money. So we must be taught the parameters that govern every operation of God as touching his dealing with humankind before anything we make contact with can be significant. God is interested in our generation, and the devil is equally interested. Our understanding of where God stands by time is what gives us an advantage. And that is why we have meetings like this put together to equip the believers with the requisite discernment for operating with God in their dispensation. I studied the scriptures and I stumbled on the truth that made me wonder. I thought number was very significant with God, but I understood that God deals with men of rank. I understood that God deals with men that have understanding of what he's doing per time. And God can afford to forgo a whole generation and deal with only two people in that generation that have the right discernment. 700 years prophecy from Isaiah of the coming of the Messiah. The Pharisees formed the company of the Sanhedrin, studying the Torah, researching the writings of the prophet for 700 years. But when God came, he never consulted with any of them because the right discernment was lacking. Only three men were relevant in the whole generation. Simeon the prophet, Anna the prophetess, and John the Baptist in the wilderness. How come God can forgo institutions just to do business with three men in a generation? He's a king and his dynasty is forever. When you operate with a monarch that was not elected into office, you need to take diligence, due diligence, to understand what he's doing part time. And that is why every time God brings an emphasis, we don't rush to answer. We wait to be instructed. Because if we rush, we might fail. When a spirit that is immortal in nature speaks and utters his voice, don't be quick to think you understand. Wait again. Your zeal and your ambition can become the reason why you are not relevant. Your priorities can become the reason why you are not relevant. The things that God promised you can even become the reason why you are not relevant. Because you will hear God tell you he will give you a car, and that car will be the reason you are not significant in the kingdom. You need to understand from what coordinates truth must be viewed from, and how will truth be approached in order for us to be meaningful and relevant before the great monarch of Zion. This is why this subject is very important. Because we are advancing into an age of warfare. The war began in the garden, but it will end in the battlefield. And until a generation is prepared sufficiently, in the day of trouble, we will discover that our strength is little. Can you ask the Lord to talk to you tonight? Let me first of all identify the two extremes that people drift to whenever we talk about the kingdom. And then I will show you the path I want to take tonight. There are two extremes that we are tempted to drift to every time kingdom is mentioned. And I want you to know that some of the things I'll be sharing here today, I'm not sharing them because I'm so studied. I'm not sharing them because I'm so wise. Naturally, every time a move of God begins, there is a grace that is ushered into that dispensation. That grace is available to those who are correctly aligned to God. Your alignment will grant you access into that grace. And when you begin to function on the strength of that grace, people will look at you and know that this thing is not a function of experience. This thing is a reality that is fashioned into the system and the context in which you are finding expression. It is alignment that grants us access into this. So everything I'll be sharing tonight, I share it with all humility. Every move of God has three resources that God releases. The first is wisdom. They saw the disciples speak and they wondered because they knew that these men were unlearned. How come they know these things? They knew that they had been with Christ. So they were not saying what they were saying because of the level of their depth in study. They were saying what they were saying because that wisdom was available to their generation. And through their partnership with Jesus, they were brought into that understanding. So that understanding is not a function of experience. It's a function of the grace that is available for the season. And I'm saying this because there are many young people here. That you are saying what the fathers are saying does not mean you are a father. You are only having access to a wisdom that is available to a move that is in your dispensation. No matter what you know, you must sustain the fortitude to be humble before the fathers. Because apart from that which you know, they have a track record before God. You don't have that track record. So let our understanding not produce arrogance but humility. Secondly, in the move of God, there is a dimension of power and anointing that God releases. Because as we advance towards the end of the age, we are advancing towards warfare and the devil is also improving. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The same Jesus taught his disciples until he left. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. That power is what gives you the credential to be a witness in that dispensation. And the third thing that God supplies to a move is his spirit, his nature, his essence of love and righteousness. We will be custodians of these dimensions of God, but it does not mean we are fathers. We need to understand that this operation is a mystical operation of the Holy Spirit, bequeathed us to carry out the function that God will have us carry out in our dispensation. Are we together? So I want to explain two extremes very quickly. The first extreme are those who become spiritists. Everything you say, they spiritualize it. It's as if they live in the spirit realm. That's an extreme. That's not really of God. It's an extreme. And the second extreme are the materialistic people. Every kingdom dimension you mention, they reduce it to materialism. If you call blessing, they are thinking car. If you call promotion, they are thinking office. These two dimensions are extreme position and God fights them in every dispensation. If you take any of this extreme, you cannot walk with God. As beautiful as it may look that you are a spiritual man, if all you have is spiritism, you are not faithful. You are not favored of God. And if you are a material person, you don't even need explanation. Lust have taken over your operating system and you are an enemy of God. These two extremes are not of God. In Luke chapter 12 verse 20, the Bible spoke of a rich man. He obeyed all the laws and principles of wealth creation. He was a wise man, diligent in his services until he gathered his barn. And his barn was full. And he said, now my soul can rest. And God spoke from heaven. He said, you fool. That's the extreme of materialism. You fool. Tonight your soul will be summoned. The second extreme is for the super spiritual. The super spiritual that call everything spirituality. In Luke chapter 16, you study the book, the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was so spiritual that he was earthly useless. The moment Lazarus died, angels came quickly and mobilized him to heaven because of his blazing righteousness. Hallelujah. He was carried to Abraham's bosom. In a moment, he was already with Abraham. But on earth, he was useless. So he could not advance the kingdom. Remember, the Bible says, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Spiritism is not of God. Materialism is not of God. Now, the balance is not mediocrity. The balance is not in the center. The balance is not taking the average. The balance is the pattern that God himself sets in motion. There is an order called the divine order. And every generation must find the divine order. The moment you discover the divine order, you will discover that both spirit and material is balanced automatically. And that divine order is what orchestrates the protocol of creation. Creation follows that pattern. Every man God uses follows that pattern. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When God created man, he said he created the spirit. And then he formed the man from the ground. He blew the spirit into the man and he became a living soul. Spirit and material working together according to divine order. Any life that does not find that divine order, unfortunately, will not be relevant. And the unfortunate thing again is that you don't find it by studying. It is revealed. There are many things I need to say tonight. By tomorrow, I will really do an extensive teaching. But tonight, I just want to set the coordinates like I have said. Praise the Lord. The divine order. Jesus is the revelation of the divine order. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if you want to understand how God works, if you want to understand the standards of God, if you want to know the patterns of God, the person to study is Jesus. The extent to which you understand Jesus and how he deals with affairs will reveal to you the order of heaven. Jesus met the woman of Samaria in Sychar at Jacob's well. John chapter 4 from verse 5. And Jesus begins to talk with this woman, engaging her in a conversation. And Jesus says to her, give me to drink. And the woman will respond to Jesus and say, you are a Jew. Why would you ask me, a Samaritan, to give you to drink? And Jesus answered her, if you knew who it is that have asked you, give me to drink, you would have asked of me and I would have given you rivers of living waters. So Jesus shifted the conversation from earthly dimension to heavenly dimensions. You are conscious of the water. You are conscious of geographical locations. You are conscious of tribal differences. You are conscious of nationalities. But the realm where I'm talking from is the realm where there is a water that does not go dry. And the woman said, you are not with anything to draw. From whence will you get this water? That's a woman who is caught to the natural. Materiality, that's her realm. The only thing she knows in everything she does are his natural advantages. Because I am from Sychar, because this well is around here, because I have something to draw, I should be the one to have the water. But Jesus is revealing to her, there's a place that you will stand, and none of these things will be a lack. There's a place that you will stand, and you will have an advantage, both in the natural and in the spirit. The woman could not understand, because all she knew were natural advantages. I have the material to draw. The well is for us. You are a Jew, you can't ask us. And Jesus laughed. And Jesus told her, go call your husband. And the woman said, I have not husband. And Jesus said, in that you have said true. Because you have married 5 husbands and the one that you are with is not your husband. And the woman quickly changed her salutation. She began to migrate. This is how next level takes place. At first, you are naturally oriented. Now she migrates and says, I perceive. Perception has come in. She's no longer functioning with data. She's now functioning with a spiritual advantage, perception. I perceive you are a prophet. In all her dealings before now, perception was not a part of it. She only operates by information. She only operates by natural advantage. But now she's shifting. Because she's what? She's engaging Jesus. I perceive that you are a prophet. And Jesus shook his head. You have moved. But there's still a place. Some of you, that all your advantage is your salary. After this conference, you will discover that it's not salary. You will move. Because when you engage Jesus, you will understand that there's an economy called grace. Grace has no regard for job. Grace has no regard for where you are from. Grace has no regard for your natural limitation. Listen, the disciples of Jesus were fishermen. They have no value in their dispensation. They were peasants, but they met somebody and they migrated. All of a sudden, their value system changed. Their confidence level changed. Everything about their paradigm was altered because they met a man that speaks from eternity. Perceive you are a prophet. And Jesus laughed. Jesus wanted to take her a bit further. and Jesus, and she now shifted. Her priority changed immediately. She said, our fathers worshipped. Worship was not part of her registers. All they knew was how to survive. But now she's beginning to hear a man that speak and have his voice echo from eternity. And the woman migrated from water. She came for water, but now she's talking worship. Migration. She's no longer talking about water. Is the water necessary? Yes. But if I understand what I'm going to handle now, even water will be provided. That's why I say, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. All other things will be added. She has migrated from water. He said, our fathers worship God on these mountains. But you say God should be worshipped in Jerusalem. And Jesus took her further. He said, a time comes and now is where true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? Because you will no longer worship on the mountain. You will no longer worship in Jerusalem. Where you will worship is in the spirit. The woman got confused. And he said, well, when the Messiah comes, you have said something that I don't understand, and I don't know how we understand it. But somewhere in the archives that the Father has handed over to us, they say the Messiah have answer to every question. So when the Messiah come, he will tell me what you mean by spirit. And Jesus looked at her and said, I that speak unto you, I am he. Notice what happened. The Bible said the woman left her pot. That was what she carried to the well. But she did what? She left her pot. And she ran into the city because her hunger was not water. What was pulling her was the voice of an evangelist that was co-opted into her creation from the day of heaven. She was designed to be a voice to her generation. The reason she subscribed to the way of water was because of scarcity of touching the things that were bordering on ordination. Now that she has found ordination, that water is people that will fetch for her. I know you are here. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your glory. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. When you see a girl of 15 years fornicating, don't be in a rush to quarrel her. There is something she's responding to. It's the emptiness in her soul. When you see a man of 35 without purpose, don't be in a rush to even advise. Let me tell you, the matters that go about people's life, they are patterns orchestrated by spiritual intelligence. The reason somebody will continue in a life without value is because the predominant source of influence is vanity. If you can talk to the ordination of that person, you will see a harlot become an evangelist. Jesus didn't advise her about her husband. Jesus only spoke to her reality. So before you have a next level, you must have an encounter. Encounter is the first gateway into the next level. If you don't have an encounter, you will remain where you are forever. They can give you $1 million today. Your reality will not speak. They can give you $1,000. You can see the house in US today. It will result in vanity. The first thing that will stir the cause of your inner streams are the quality of encounters that you have with God. This evening, I want to show you the grand rules for encounter. Because if all of us know how to get encounter, you will be amazed the speed with which we will run in life. That woman had married 5 husbands, and she's living with the 6th man. You will see her and say, you are useless. Not Jesus. You will see her and say, you are useless. Not Jesus. Jesus met Peter. Peter was an indecisive man. And he said, thou art Peter. Your name shall no longer be Simon, but what? Petros. That means according to the way God fabricated Peter, Peter was created in the theater of heaven as a stone, a rock. A rock that cannot move. But Peter came into time and circumstances made him become a reed. When he met Jesus, he became a rock. That's true next level. Entering into the patterns of God and standing where God says to stand. Being defined by how God defines you and operating how God operates and knowing what God says you are. That is where next level begins from. The precursor of next level is the quality of your encounter. How much of Jesus have you seen? I will show you the things that blind men from seeing Jesus. And I will show you what you do when you have seen Jesus in order to continuously and progressively grow in the path of spiritual progress. Listen, encounter is not seeing light in the spirit realm. You can see light in the spirit realm and be confused. People were traveling with Paul in Acts chapter 9 to Damascus. And all of them saw the light, but nothing was said concerning the people. So light is not the weight of encounter. You can even see angels and beings in the spirit and be confused. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb of Jesus. He saw Jesus. He didn't know who he was. She was still crying before Jesus. She was looking for him, but she didn't know it. Encounters are divine knowledge, orchestrated or revealed by the divine. Encounters are spiritual understandings furnished a man by divine orchestration. The reason that's why when we come to God, we drop our experience aside. Intelligence does not acquit you with the knowledge of God. Experience does not acquit you with the knowledge of God. Even staying does not acquit you with the knowledge of God. It is God himself that furnishes his knowledge. So every time you come, you are broken. If we don't understand the intelligence of brokenness, there will be no next level in our lives. If we don't understand the intelligence of brokenness, there will be no promotion in our lives. Listen, if you don't get to that point, everything you receive will become the reason why you become small in the kingdom. Most of us come to church today because we don't have money. Wait until we begin to earn in 6 digits. That's when you will discover that Wednesday service is too hard. That means next level is not money. Some of us are coming to church because we don't have a good job yet. Wait until you get a job with Chevron. That's when you will notice that Sunday morning is the only time you have to rest. So you will notice that next level is not job promotion. Some of us are here because we are not yet married. You see a brother praying, compose himself. He comes for service every day. It's a lady he has seen in the church he's trying to impress. The moment he marries that lady, you will not see him in prayer meeting again. You see a lady praying. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You say this lady is an intercessor. She's burning for God. Wait until she finds a husband. The prayer life will crash. So next level is not marriage. Next level is how deeper you can travel into the kingdom. Where are you standing in the kingdom? Everything we have are resources given to us by God in order to carry out responsibility at different levels. Our quality of experience of God separates us into different spiritual cadres. And everything God gives us at that cadre is to satisfy the demand of God at that level. That's why before God promotes a man, he kills him. It's not prayer that is the precursor for next level. It's the quality of your encounter. And if truly you have an encounter, you'll be a broken man. Encounter produces death. Death to everything that is of the old creation. Because God, the Bible said, thou art of a purer eyes. Your eyes cannot behold iniquity. Every time a man has an encounter, he is broken. Encounters break men. In Genesis 32 from verse 24, the Bible spoke about Jacob's encounter with the angel of God. They fought from night till morning. The angel was achieving one objective, to break him. And the moment he was broken, he said, as a prince. That was a guy coming with 2 troops. That was a guy coming with sheep, with cattle, with rams. But in heaven, he had no stature. Until he had an encounter that broke him, he became a prince. When he became a prince, he didn't need cattle anymore. The guy will come at old age and say, gather around me, Jacob. Oh, sons of Jacob. Come round me, you children of Israel, and I will tell you the things that will happen to you. Did you not notice that the fathers in the Israeli clan, they don't give cows to their children. They give them wars. Their wars carry power. Their wars can bring the rain. Their wars can cause the farm to produce, because they know where they entered in Zion. Gather around me, you sons of Jacob. I will tell you. He was not prophesying. He was shaping their destinies with his words. He said, Reuben, you are my first son. You are the source of my strength. You are of an excellent spirit, but as unstable as water, you will not prosper. That means even God himself designed Reuben to be a man of excellence and power. But there was a prince on earth that was talking that heaven cannot deny. As unstable, you cannot prosper. Because you went to my bed chamber with my concubine. He said, you will never prosper. And Reuben, according to Israeli blessing order, the right of the firstborn belonged to Reuben. That was the design from heaven. But a man that is broken, when he speaks, heaven cannot deny him. He says, a contrite heart and a broken spirit, the Lord cannot despise.
He spoke on it and God honored it in heaven. He shifted the scepter from Reuben and put it on Judah. And he said, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. That's a man that is broken. When you limp on your staff of brokenness, you are ready for promotion. If you are strong in yourself, there will be no promotion for you. Next level is not advantage in the flesh. Next level is advantage in the spirit. Next level is not favor with men. Next level is favor with God. Next level is not locationally based. Next level is your place of standing in the spirit realm. Where are you talking from in heaven? If you are truly promoted, you will shift rank in the spirit. You will migrate from where you are, and you will come to a point where your word will have weight and gravity. Futility of flesh must be destroyed. It's not the suit you wear that determines your spiritual authority. It is vanity. When you speak, how much of the arsenals of heaven can you command? Where do you talk from in Zion? Let me show you about Jesus. You know, the Bible said he's the author and finisher of our faith. See how Jesus showed us promotion. The pathway of promotion that Jesus showed us is the path of death. Jesus, the Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 35, when the angel came to Mary, he said, the Spirit of God will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. That thing that will be formed in you will be called the Son of the Highest. That means Jesus is a being of power. Jesus doesn't need power. He's a being of what? Power. He was formed in power. Every dimension of Jesus carries power as his DNA. He was formed by power. The Bible said in John chapter 1, from verse 1 to 4, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Four credentials. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. So Jesus, God. Two, all things were made by him. Jesus, what? Creator. Three, he was the life. Four, he is the light. So in addition to the fact that Jesus is a being of power, Jesus is God, Jesus is creator, Jesus is life, Jesus is light. Yet for 30 years, nothing happened. Why? He is showing you the pathway of promotion in this kingdom. It's called the path of death. Every layer of promotion Jesus had, there was something he died to. You don't get promoted because you are connected to men. There is a fragrance of heaven that God puts on a man. That's why a slave of 430 years can suddenly go to his master and say, give me your gold. And the master cannot deny. He said he put favor on the Israelites, and they spoiled the Egyptians. What shifted? It was a fragrance. There is a grace that comes upon you as you accept the verdict of death that makes you become a magnet of everything that is advantage in this world. That was the path that Jesus revealed. Jesus showed us five levels of death, which are the five cardinal levels of promotion in this life. You may not know it cognitively, but you must experience it to be promoted. Because the reason God promotes men is not for self-aggrandizement. It's not for self-preservation. The reason God promotes men is for kingdom advancement. And if you are full of flesh, your promotion will become an arsenal against the kingdom. If you are full of yourself, even the devil can give you what God gives. In a perverted state, the devil gives money. The devil gives wives. The devil gives car. The devil gives everything. But when God gives you his blessing, he first of all changes your operating system so the devil cannot use it. God is more interested in you than what he gives you. So he will first of all alter your operating system. If your operating system is not altered, that thing you have received will be the main thing that will kill you. Five levels of death, quickly, as we begin to pray. I want us to pray tonight. The first level of death that was the precursor of Jesus' first promotion. Remember, I said, next level is a function of what? Your encounter with Jesus. When you encounter Jesus, his life becomes a roadmap for you. His life becomes the roadmap for your navigation. And every one of us that must enter into those levels of kingdom authority that Jesus entered must pass through those paths that he passed. That's why the Bible called him the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of people say, we have Jesus, we are born again, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so we don't need to labor. You have not studied the scriptures well. He said he did not save you by works, but he saved you unto good works. Before you fell, before man fell, man had an assignment. Now that man is restored, does it not occur to you that you will go back to that assignment? The extent to which you grow in that assignment is what determines your advantage. It's what determines your rank. It's what determines your status in the kingdom. And now, because the operation of death is in the flesh, God will chisel your flesh every time he wants to bring you higher in the kingdom. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, but exercising that authority is a function of death. That's why not all of us cast out demons, even though all of us are believers. It's a revelation of who and who can exercise authority. When you see men doing mighty works in the kingdom, they have suffered the degree of death. That scar is on them. Demons see those scars. Men may not see it, but demons see it. You can be 20 years old. If you go through the school of process, that scar will be there. It's our badge in the spirit. A lot deny it. But if you want to deny it, go to the street and try it. And the devil will show you that it's not a joke. The sons of Sceva tried it. You go and try it. If you don't allow God to chisel you until those scars are formed on you, and see whether the devil will not tell you he's aware of those, that their names are sculpted in the registers of heaven. Death. We must embrace death to go forward in this kingdom. The grave is not a pit. The grave is the womb of trust. And it is the seal of absolute submission. That's why only dead men enter the grave. When God carries you through those fires, those mighty furnaces, and it burns you, you learn the art of dying. And as you die, you understand the language of the grave. That's when you can trust God completely. That's when your submission can become total. And those times are the times when the badges of heaven are placed on you. 5 levels of death. The first death that Jesus died was death to fame. And the moment he died to fame, God announced him. Anything you don't die to, you cannot have. That's the equation in the kingdom. 30 years, the time for ministry had come. The season of promotion had come. God was waiting for him. Listen, some of us are waiting for people to lay hands on us to go to the next level. God is waiting for us. I'm telling you the truth. That's why in certain seasons of your life, the Holy Ghost will not let you rest. He brings that instruction again and again and again and again. And for 3 months, God is emphasizing one thing. You don't know. That is the gateway to your promotion. And many people, because we are not taught the doctrine of death, we relax until that window closes. And the next time the Holy Ghost comes, is consistent with our cycle. And our cycles are different. Some of us, our cycles are 3 years. Some people's cycle is 4 years. That's why the last time you heard God tell you fast was 4 years ago. As it comes now, take it for granted. You see, the next 4 years, we receive a burden for fasting. You have wasted your cycle. You have ruined your cycle. Jesus knew how these things work. He was calm as a carpenter for 30 years. He was not moved. Because Jesus knew what he needed to go to the next level. He didn't need connection with any man. He knew that those things are chiseled into the walls of heaven. They are eternal dynasties. They can never be altered. They are consistent with the patterns of God. When the season was done, he just stood up and strode to the river. Coming to John. And John didn't make the situation easy. John had announced that the Lamb of God is coming. When God sometimes wants to teach you the pain of death, he announces you first. See, you will come to church, everybody will be hailing you that you are the prayer man. And then you start walking like this. Or you are the, nobody has a good voice like Sister Grace. So Sister Grace now comes to church and acts somehow. If they don't call her, she will not come. You will sing with a good melody, but it will not cross the ceiling. Because worship is not melody. If you enter heaven and you hear, there are instruments in heaven that are not on earth. So if it's melody God is looking for, the angels would have done a better job. We don't know the language of death. Jesus showed up and told John to baptize him. And John would tell him, I should be baptized of you. I've already announced to the people that I'm not worthy to untie the latchet of your sandal. My prophetic ministry will be placed in jeopardy. If I go ahead with this, Jesus says, suffer it to be so for now. Suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So Creator was baptized by creation. You don't understand that humiliation. No, you don't know that humiliation. You don't know what it means. Maybe when you become a pastor and God tells you to come and do something, you know, when you are not in position of authority, you don't understand what pride is. You are poor, so it's normal for you to sweep the ground. Wait until you become a governor and you come to church, they say, mop the ground. It will not even occur to you that governors are supposed to mop the ground. But meanwhile, when you were a poor man, it was normal. When Creator is to be baptized by creation, the Bible call it the highest humiliation. That's what First Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9 was itemizing. Object you created with your own hands, you are bowing down for that object to baptize you. It's called death to fame. People gathered, but it doesn't count. The reason is what? Suffer it to be so for now. Many will never go through that college. That's why they fall from their thrones. That was what happened to King Saul. He was conscious of the people. The people are looking. It's about the people. So they cannot go further in life. But Jesus showed us the key to fame. Walking in stardom among men is called suffer it to be so for now. Thus, it becometh us. And the reason he said it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness is because he doesn't want to violate the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit states that without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So Jesus was not violating the law of the Spirit. But that one is an instruction for now. Suffer it to be so for now. And when Jesus died the death of fame, God turned back from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There are many young people today, because there is cheap platform, we think ministry promotion is on Facebook. So we bombard things on Facebook. You will do it until you finish your data. Nobody will read it. Because until a spirit say, hear ye him, nobody will hear you. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Pastor gives instruction, you cannot do it. You go and watch an album. You now pull it, you put it on iTunes. It will be on iTunes for 20 years. It's your grandchildren, you will tell them to see your album. Mop the church, you are too big. But you go online, you are an evangelist. You will be Facebook evangelist for 13 years. And all your posts, you will see 20 likes. When it grows, it's 35. And those 35, I assure you, they didn't read it. They just liked it because they wanted to know that they are following you. His spirit that thunders over men and say, hear ye him. I assure you, there are many people that have been in ministry for 20 years. For 20 years, they don't have half this size. So it's not intelligence that built this. It's God that built it. But before God builds, you must master the language of what? Suffer it to be so for now. Death to the pride of fame. It's me. It must always be you. It's never about you. In the kingdom, it's about one man. His name is Jesus. If it's this kingdom, it's only about one man. His name is Jesus. And if you don't die that death, and you allow your pride and ego to grow, you will be frustrating even the efforts that you put in. The second death that Jesus revealed was death to the lust of the flesh. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says to love not the world. They that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That was the three temptations the devil brought to Jesus on the mountain. Three layers of lust. Jesus died to lust. Most of us have been Christians for 10 years, but we are still slaves of lust. There is a level you cannot operate in the kingdom. It's called the level of spiritual authority. Until you die to lust, you will not have authority in this kingdom. The moment Jesus satisfied the requirements of divinity as touching death to flesh, he returned. And the Bible said in Matthew 4:14 that it might be written, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. That was when Jesus began to cast out devils. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You have authority in the name of Jesus, but no demon will respect you until you begin to deal with loss, because it's a law of the spirit. The Bible says, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him whom you have obeyed. You are ruled by lust. You are fornicating. And then you want to cast out a demon that is a prince in immorality. Are you not a joker? You are a servant of that prince. This is why we don't have territorial dominion. The moment Jesus satisfied the claims, the moment Jesus met the requirement of death to lust, he didn't need to speak. The Bible said the moment he came, he said, they that sat in darkness had seen a great light. His appearance became a lightning rod from heaven. The third lust, or the third layer of death that Jesus revealed. John chapter 12 verse 31. Except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, he abides alone. That's death. Death to the appetite of power. A lot of us can't do anything. We can't serve anybody. But we want to stand, pocket our hand and say, go there, clean here, do here. See, these things are not a joke. You can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You can quote chapters of scripture, but you'll be shocked that your life will be a contradiction of what you say. Jesus was the compendium, the totality of the world. But there were no manifestations around his life for 30 years. Digest the word of God. Fill yourself with it. And when you cough John 3:16. It does not translate to manifestation. There are many theologians today. They are Muslims. If you quote three phrases, they will tell you where it is in the Bible. They are like concordances. Being full of scripture does not translate to authority. Being full of scripture does not translate to dominion. There are things that are must in this kingdom. Because that's your sign of surrender. Is what will cause God to invest himself and his dimensions into your life. A lot of people think these things are a joke. Christianity is not a game. It's not a manipulation. It's not a strategy. Christianity is divinity expressed through humanity. And your flesh will always resist God. That's why God will ensure that these layers of death are wired into you. So that anything that can resist him will not be there. And every time he shows up, he can flow through you. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, he abides alone. That lust for international recognition, as beautiful as it is, might be the reason why you will not go anywhere. That lust for being known for fame and stardom, that may be the reason why you may never be known. The people that were coming to Jesus are Greeks. They have come to accept, even though these are mental people, they have studied Jesus' life and they now know that no, this man is not an ordinary person. And they are coming to invite him to bring his ministry to their borders. And Jesus will say, no. The calendar of heaven for me now is to die. Again, God thunders from heaven. Now is the judgment of this world. So Jesus came to a point where he could bring judgment to this world when he died to those lost. Now is the prince of the cosmos cast out. So all this why that you were doing ministry, you could not cast out the prince of the cosmos. Yes. This is why there are demonic entities that hold sway in different territories and we cannot challenge them. It was when Jesus entered that layer of death that he was able to challenge the prince of the cosmos. There may be a prince in your family. You will call yourself an apostle. You will be shocked. There may be a demon. Every lady in your house, the moment they reach 19, they are already pregnant. And you say you are an apostle. You will come and want them. You will go to hell. They know about hell. There is a prince you cannot challenge. That was the same dimension that Daniel mirrored. We will make you the president over all the princes in the land. He said, no. Make Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Me, I will sit at the gate. He knew how to challenge territorial forces. You have to die to the lust of power. You have to die to the lust of glory. You have to die to the lust of stardom. You have to die to the lust of the hand clap of people for you to be able to have territorial dominion. Now is the prince of the cosmos cast out. the fourth loss that Jesus died to was death to his will. That's where true worship begins from. In Gethsemane. Father, if it is my will, let this cup pass me by, but the will is not mine, but thine. Most of us have not died to our will. Listen, worship is not a good song. But your song can become a spiritual system that expresses your essence before the Lord. But that song in itself is not the worship. It is the essence that is communicated in it that is the act of worship. But men that understand how to give up their will for the will of God to be done, they are the best worshippers in this world. You will go to heaven and you will be sure that most of the international worshippers, if their lives are not submitted to the will of God, they may never be lifted. Jesus died to his will. You must have heard motivational speakers tell us how that your will is your greatest power in this world. No. Your will is not your greatest power. It is the will of God expressed through you that is the greatest power. At every instance of your life, if your will is at variance with the will of God, your will must be submitted. As powerful as it must be submitted to the Lord. That was when Jesus qualified to become the savior of humankind. When his will was surrendered for the will of God. These things may not be very loud, but these are the things that determine our progress and promotion in the kingdom. There are certain authorities that God will never commit to you because he's not sure what he will do with it. But the moment God realizes that you are absolutely submitted to him, there is nothing he can hold back from you. He spoke concerning Abraham. I know Abraham, my servant, that he will command his children in my ways. That's a man that can handle authority. That's a man that God can bring into territorial dominion. That's a man that God can exalt among men because his will is in the hand of God. That man does not have a will of his own anymore. He has perfected his plan, but God said, go nowhere. And then he stands and says, yes, sir. He has concluded everything. Everything is already working. God says, shut down. He says, yes, sir. Most of the people God is promoting, if God in ministry, particularly now, if God tells them to stop ministry today, it's not an argument. So long as they have heard God, you will think that they are excited that ministry is growing, church is growing. If God shows up and says, stop, it's over. That's a man God will raise in ministry. Not a man that makes an ambition out of ministry. Your will. If your will is strong, you will not see the strength of God. If your will is powerful, you will not see the power of God. If your will become your God, then God will be scarce from your borders. Jesus mastered the act of surrendering his will for the will of the Father. I'm showing you this thing. These are the things that bring you to the standpoint of God. I told you from the beginning, it's not super spirituality or super materialism. It's standing where God is standing. Jesus came to that point in Gethsemane. He stood where God stood. The last death that Jesus died to. When you die to fame, God announces you. Because God knows that fame will not take you away from him. When you die to lust, God empowers you with authority. When you die to your ambition for power, God gives you territorial dominion. When you die to your will, the will of God can now find expression through you. No wonder the Bible spoke concerning Jesus. It said, for the glory that was set before him, he despised the shame. The fifth death is death to shame. You come to a point where it doesn't matter what men say anymore. Most of us cannot do the biddings of God because of what men say. Your area, they know you as a big boy. So you can't afford to follow the evangelism team. It looks weak. How can you now? Now me now. You can't go anywhere. See, today, Bishop David Oedeko goes on street evangelism. See, today. While you are praying for Jeep, they come down from Jeeps and walk on the street. Most of us are too careful of shame. So even when they say, come, you don't want anybody to rebuke you. You'll be okay if they rebuke you in the hiding. There is something fighting your destiny. God can't take you far. Jesus saw glory, but he knew that he must first of all despise shame. Death to shame is what grants you access to glory. Many can never walk in the glory dimension of God because they are too careful about shame. What is there to be ashamed of? Who are you in the first place? Who told you you are somebody apart from God? What is there to be ashamed of? We come to church, we can't even worship God. We are careful. People are looking at us. But men that despise shame, their dynasty with God is forever. David danced until he was stripped. And when Micah laughed at her, he said, "It's not your father that made me a king." And he danced again. You wonder why with all his shortcomings, God still exalted him. Shame was not a reality around David. He knew how to give it away. But some of us, shame have constrained us too much that we can't come to God. You want to be promoted in this kingdom? Impartations are very important. All of us crave for them because they are spiritual advantages. But you want to be promoted in this kingdom, you must die to fame. You must die to lust. You must die to the pride of life. You must die to the glories of authority and power that you hinge to so much. You must die to your will and you must die to shame. These are the keys for advancing in this kingdom. At any level where you die to these things, you will discover that your promotion will be supernatural. People can't understand what's happening with you, but they don't know. This is why the Holy Ghost sometimes comes to break us. While you are crying, he's breaking you. You are crying to God, "Lord, I'm looking for 5,000 members." God is breaking you. God is breaking you. The answer to your prayer is what is doing to you there. You are praying for 5,000 members, but what is stopping 5,000 members is your pride. So God wants to answer your prayer. That's why he's breaking you. When he succeeds in breaking you, the members will come as if there is a force pulling them. And truly, there is a force. It's called anakazo. When I studied the scriptures, I wondered. I said, the patriarchs, they didn't have documents to read. How come they serve God? I looked at Enoch, he read nothing. I looked at Noah, he read nothing. I looked at Abraham, he read nothing. How were these men able to walk with God? And I understood that the path of the Spirit is locked in the heavens. A man that yields to God, God carries him. That's why I said the step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. The scriptures are an advantage, but the scriptures are also a revelation of the pathway that the patriarchs followed. That's how they became mighty in God. Somebody stood up and said, "Well, we are following Jesus now. The era of the fathers are gone. The patriarchs were in Old Testament." Reality have no respect for dispensation. Reality have no respect for dispensation. Abraham had faith in the Old Testament. God saved him. You have faith today, God save you. No regard for dispensation. Moses was obedient in the Old Testament. He was great. You are obedient now, you'll be great. And every dimension this man walked in are dimensions of Jesus. You are the only person that thought Jesus began to exist when he became flesh. Some men saw him in the spirit realm. The Bible says Moses saw him that was invincible. Jesus himself will bear testimony with Abraham and said, "Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it." You are the only person that thought Jesus came in the New Testament. There were men that started seeing him in the spirit. In the spirit. So those dimensions existed before Jesus. After Jesus, they still exist and they will be constant. If you learn it and you walk in it, you will be mighty in this kingdom and your promotion will be by the finger of God. The patriarchs. Why do you think they are called patriarchs? They were the first that found these dimensions. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, the name of Adam is not there. That means patriarchal grace is not who comes first. It's who discovers first. What dimension in God have you found? What dimension in God are you walking in? That's what will determine your stature, your ranking, and your greatness in this kingdom. For Abel, the Bible said he gave a more excellent sacrifice. See, tomorrow, anybody that provides himself and his life as a sacrifice, he will be mighty with God. He will have a voice in the courts of heaven. That's why when he died, the Bible said his blood cried from the ground. There is a witness the life of that man carries that even death cannot stop. Because the level with which he submitted himself to God, his blood sustained an utterance in the courts of heaven. Tomorrow, most of you are from Akwa Ibom, I don't need to tell you. You've heard strange and alarming testimonies of Reverend Dr. Maupai. Those are men that their lives have become the sacrifice. Somebody will say Jesus paid the sacrifice. Your life will tell you that your doctrine is wrong. Your life will tell you your doctrine is wrong. Why a man will come and lock the heavens and go to sleep when 7,000 prophets are praying? Is God biased? There are energy levels where God deals with men. Those dimensions will never change. A man that yields his life as a sacrifice is dealing with God at a higher energy level. His voice holds more weight in the spirit than yours. That's what Abel pioneered. That it's possible that mortal men can speak in the courts of heaven through sacrifice. It's possible that a man can make himself a sacrificial object to God. And when he speaks, he can summon the courts of heaven. That man's utterance can cause the 24 elders and the great monarch of Zion himself to sit down and deliberate because of him. When God called Abraham out of his country, out of his kindred, out of his father's house, does it make sense? That guy had no identity as far as life was concerned anymore. You are no longer part of a nation. You are not part of a kindred. You are not part of a family. You are lost. But these are statements of sacrifice. So Abraham will have authority on earth to change a verdict that was passed in the courts of heaven. God will show up and say, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, for their iniquities and the cries have risen to the heavens. And Abraham will come and say, God, change it. What do you mean? Are you okay? Do you know where those verdicts came from? Do you know the ancient spirits that gathered together to conclude that Sodom should be destroyed? His sacrifice was as potent as the testimony of the elders of heaven. So Abraham will tell God, let Sodom stand if you find 50 righteous men. And God will be changing a verdict that was completed and perfected in heaven. You have the Holy Spirit. You have that level of stature. Sacrifice is a statement in heaven. And only dead men understand the language of sacrifice. That's why the kingdom rides on the shoulder of dead men. If you find 40 righteous men, will you spare the city? If I find 40 righteous men, I will spare the city. Abraham stopped at 10 because he thought Lot learned something. But obviously, Lot didn't learn anything. Lot only learned how to raise cattle and goats. So when he went to Sodom, he forgot the way of the altars. He didn't know that the life of Abraham and the value of his life were on altars. Everywhere Abraham enters, he builds an altar because he's a dead man. He knows the language of sacrifice much more than Aramaic. The only thing he speaks is death. The only thing he speaks is sacrifice. So anytime God shows up, the Isaac that he waited for 25 years, God will now come and say, take Isaac and go and slaughter. It doesn't make sense. Why didn't he ask God, will you drink his blood? He's a dead man. Dead men don't have opinion. You reign. You reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Do you see why Abraham have authority to change the verdict of the court of heaven? Whether you have the Holy Ghost or not is not a factor. To what extent can God depend on you? The Holy Ghost came to teach you the ways of the kingdom. The fathers, they mirrored it. How much debt have you allowed into your life? You are so conscious of your ego. You are so conscious of your pride. You are so conscious of your name. And you think you want to be mighty. I will show you tomorrow the six credentials of next level. And then you will understand how God makes men. The first one is a name. That name your father gave you is for nomenclature and identification. The name God gives you is a seal of authority in the spirit. And you will end that name by service. I was waiting on the Lord in December. And the Lord came and began to speak to me. And he said there are three strategies the devil is bringing into the earth realm in order to choke our heritage and to bring a new colonization system that will make this world plunge into darkness. He said, but we must cry, especially to the young generation, to rise up. And I began to write as the Lord speak. And he said the first strategy the devil is bringing is the strategy of besiegement. And he said it's through terrorism. So we can no longer extend the kingdom. All our evangelism strategy, we no longer go towards Afghanistan. We no longer go towards Pakistan. We no longer go even in Nigeria. Maiduguri and the rest, they are no longer part of our prayer point. It's a strategy of the devil. He uses terrorism and he takes over territories until he comes and chokes us in the center. Did you study 1 Kings chapter 6? When you are besieged, you will remain with the few resources you have until you can no longer expand. You will reduce until you spiral into oblivion. But a generation must rise that can challenge terrorism. That generation is not a generation that calls biscuit and wine promotion. That generation is a generation that embraces death for the kingdom. It's a generation that committing their life to the service of God is an honor to them. It's not a generation that pursues cars and first class. It's not a generation that pursues influence among men. It's a generation that pursues influence among spirits. He said the second strategy is the strategy of infiltration. So people will become lukewarm. It will become natural now when people dress half naked. Because we will think it's just there's nothing we can do about it anymore. But what it does is that it weakens our internal energy. It weakens our innate potentials. So you will notice that by and by, it will become difficult for the church to pray. Not because they don't want to pray, but there's no energy anymore. We have accepted foreign laws. We have accepted foreign doctrines. And the ways of the world have become our ways. So we can no longer change the world. The world will change us. So our generation will grow weak in strength until we can no longer challenge the devil. And for that, the Lord said we must speak with the tongue of fire. So that men will be purged as they hear. And the third generation, a third strategy is the strategy of suffocation. The devil will use laws and policies of people in power to choke our confidence and to trample on our convictions. The Lord says for that, we must borrow influence, the influence of men in the kingdom. And through synergy, we must fight back. This is why it is foolishness to fight the fathers that are mighty. Their influence is a very prized resource in this time. You cannot challenge the government of the day, but Reverend Umar Opah can. Bishop David Oedeko can. So it's not time to fight them. It's time to pray for them. Because that influence will be a very useful resource for this time. And the second thing the Lord said we'll do is that the fathers must mentor the younger ones. The reason that they called me here is not because I'm so anointed. It's not because I'm so wise. It's not because I have revelation. It's a strategy in the spirit. The elders are beginning to mentor the younger ones so that we will grow in influence. This is what Islam knows to do and do very well. The sons of the Assyrians, they know how to mentor people. At the age of 5, you are thrown away from your state to another state as an Majidi for 10 years. And then you return. And then you are taught. You are sponsored through school. And then they put them in choice places. It's called mentoring. When the fathers go, the younger ones are already prepared. But that strategy is lacking in the church. So the Lord says to walk with influence and to raise men and mentor them in the path of influence. So that their heart will not be lifted in vanity, but they will become kingdom arsenals that God will depend on in the days to come. There is warfare by our borders. Our boundaries are littered with all kinds of demonic intelligence and strategies from Hades. And a generation must rise. Every one of us must come to that point where we are willing for our lives to be submitted. On the altar of sacrifice, did you not notice in the ministry of Jesus Christ, everybody Jesus raised was martyred? Is it that Jesus sponsors people to die? No, it's a spirit. The only spirit that can challenge the enemy is the spirit of martyrdom. And only men that embrace death can advance the frontiers of the kingdom. This evening, I want to talk to us young people. Pleasure is not the way to go. The way to go is the way of death. God will come to challenge your ego. That's promotion. God will come to challenge your lust. That's promotion. God will come to challenge your ambitions. That's promotion. And that's the path that Jesus showed. Tonight, you want to ask God, I'm willing to yield myself and my life. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Some of you, your paradigm will shift. Some of you, you will receive an encounter now that will kill your lust, that will kill your pride. If you have not died, a car will kill you. A car can never be a promotion until you are dead to the lust for flesh, to the pride of life. If you have not died, your ambition will take you away from God. Listen, what we are talking about here has nothing to do with good or evil. We are talking about kingdom strategy for emancipation. And the first is a generation coming to the point where the prince of this world can come to them and find nothing. Only dead men have that status. You can be a preacher, but something can be found in you. You can be a bishop, something can be found in you. We are talking about coming to a point where God himself purges a generation. So that generation sustain the stature and the fortitude to advance the kingdom. It's not about good and evil. is about kingdom advancement. How much stamina do you have? I want us to pray honestly tonight. You may be weak. It's not a challenge. Cry. God will provide strength. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. We have 5 minutes. But you may not believe what I'm telling you, but our generation is weak and we are not ready. The days where our fathers gave their heart to Christ, praying in tongues for 10 hours was a normal thing. Those days, vigils began 6 p.m. and end 6 a.m. No musical instrument. Men only prayed. They had stamina. We are a generation of distracted people. We are a generation of people that are ruled by lust. We must come to a point where we are purged. The things that appeal to the fathers, that's one of them. Soul winning. The number of souls you won in a week was what determines your rank in the kingdom. But our generation, all these things are gone. Our priorities have been maligned. We want to cry. Some of us, what we need tonight is an alteration of vistas. How do you see? What do you see? How do you hear? And where are you standing? These are the things that matter in this kingdom. I want us to cry once again. For you to be relevant with God is not something you discover in heaven. There are principles that reveal it on earth. You will know. It's not in heaven you discover. You know. Moses knew so much that he told God, if you will not forgive these people, remove my name from your book of life. That's the man that had assurance because he knows the kind of life he was living. Paul came, he said, I have run my race, I have finished my course. There remained for me a crown. It's not in heaven you will discover where you are, whether you are relevant or not. If you live that life on earth, you know. Go ahead and pray. Lord, by all means, empower me with grace. Empower me with grace. Empower me with grace. Empower me with grace. You are promoted when God can entrust you with responsibilities. And the people God entrusts with responsibilities are men that will not squander grace.